Hello, this is Ian Berg with the commercial news, dated Wednesday, August 28th, 2019. We'll start today's reading on the front page of the paper with the article, A Big Deal, Westville to Bustle with Fun This Weekend, by Mary Wyckoff. Westville. The Labor Day festivities in this small town are so popular that even Elvis plans to make an appearance. For the first time, St. Mary's Catholic Church is extending its activities to 4 days, starting Friday with Elvis impersonator Radney Little E. Pennington. St. Mary's events will take place Friday through Monday on its parking lot and in the parish hall. Those events are separate from the Westville Lions Club's events, which starts Thursday and continue through Monday, including the parade. Although both sets of events are separate, the organizers work together to present a variety of fun for everyone. Labor Day is a big deal in Westville, said Mary Ann Hughes, organizer of St. Mary's events. We all pull together as a community. It's a nice, fun weekend to relax. A new event on Friday will feature Pennington, 17, of Branson, Missouri, who has been impersonating Elvis Presley for years. The show starts at 7 p.m. at the parish hall. Doors open at 6 p.m. Tickets are $10 at the door. Food and beverages will be for sale. Hughes said this is the first time that the teenager has made an appearance in Westville. She knows people who highly recommend him after seeing his show. The young man has won several awards, including the 2017 Midwest Tribute to the King winner, 2018 Windy City ETA contest, 2019 Branson Elvis Festival, and he represented his hometown in the 2019 Ultimate Elvis Tribute Artist Contest in Memphis, Tennessee. He was also the youngest Elvis to perform in Million Dollar Quartet, as well as the youngest Elvis to headline Legends in Concert in Las Vegas. On Saturday, there will be a cruise-in display, not a show, featuring classic cars from 4 to 7 p.m. in the church parking lot. Entry fee to show a car is $5, with proceeds going to Zamberletti Park to replace playground equipment. Food and soft drinks will be for sale. Pre-register your car by calling the church office. Sunday features the 16th annual Margaritaville from 4:30 to 11 p.m. The Brat Pack, playing 1980s tunes, will perform from 7 to 10 p.m. There is a $5 cover charge. Hot dogs, brats, hamburgers, and barbecue will be for sale, along with beer, soda, wine, and wine coolers. Hughes started the popular Margaritaville 16 years ago. She had just been to a Jimmy Buffett concert. It was so quirky and fun that she thought maybe St. Mary's could have a street party and call it Margaritaville. Last year, it attracted 1,400 people, and it gets bigger every year. On Monday, food will be served from noon to 3 p.m. in the parish hall. The meal includes pork loin sandwich, baked beans, dessert, chips, and soft drink for $7. The 50-50 raffle drawing will be at 3 p.m., and the winner does not need to be present. Tickets are $10 each, or three for $25. Call the church office for tickets. Credit cards are accepted. Last year, the winner received $9,000. Also on Monday, people can participate in the first golf cart regatta. Decorate your cart in red, white, and blue. Carts will be judged at St. Mary's under the tents immediately after the parade at 1:30 p.m. Cash prizes will be awarded. Cart owners must register, no fee required, by calling the church office. Deadline is today. The Westville Lions Club will host the annual Labor Day celebration through Monday. On Thursday, Carnival Bracelet Night will be from 6 to 10 p.m. On Friday, the carnival will be from 6 to 10 p.m. and fireworks at 8:30 p.m. at the high school. On Saturday, there will be a 5K Tiger Run at 8 a.m. Judith Giacoma School, registration at 7 a.m. Carnival from noon to 11 p.m. 3-on-3 basketball tournament at noon. Boss Hogg and the Good Ol' Boys from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. and Brushville at 8 p.m. On Sunday, the carnival will run from noon to 11 p.m. Youth football at noon and foam party from 7 to 9 p.m. Monday's highlight is the parade at 11:30 a.m., followed by a carnival from noon to 6 p.m. Our next article will be City May Partner on East Main Site. Committee OKs Agreement to Demolish Structures, Clear Brush, by Jennifer Bailey, Danville. An East Main Street Development Agreement, the Danville City Council's Public Services Committee recommended approving Tuesday night, brought back memories for aldermen of other property that has yet to see any new development. The committee voted 4-1 with Aldermen R.J. Davis, Steve Foster, Dan Duncian, and Tom Stone voting for it, Alderman Steve Nichols voting against it, and Alderwoman Brenda Brown and Sharon McMahon absent, to authorize a development agreement between the city and Maruti Gagan Management, LLC. The full city council will act on the agreement next week. The agreement calls for the city to demolish the structures at 829, 831, and 833 East Main Street. The city will also remove the trees and brush. Owner Maruti Seth, who owns the adjacent Burger King, will pay for the asbestos removal from the structures and pay all dump fees for the demolitions, according to Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. Williams said the joint partnership agreement was worked on by former Mayor Scott Eisenhower. Williams said no tenant has been finalized, but he believes a development is close on a couple different options. Williams said he's glad to see more East End development. Ward 4 Alderman Mike O'Kane questioned biting the bullet again on a development project that possibly doesn't happen. He referred to the property the city purchased at Vermilion and Fairchild Streets that previously housed Gulix Ileana Medical Equipment and Supply Building and a speed lube. The city spent $328,000 for the three properties there, including the vacant land between the two former businesses. William said the city would only be spending labor and time on the demolitions. The demolitions could cost about $30,000 to $40,000. He also said the city will be back to demolished, dilapidated houses in the city after work is completed at Fair Oaks this fall. Williams also pointed out the city was not purchasing the East Main Street lots. He said the option expired in May at the Fairchild and Vermilion site for Highland Ventures. It's now up for grabs, he said, adding that two developers have asked for information about the site. In other building news, Williams said he also didn't have any update on Bressy Collins Tower, saying that options continue to be looked at for the safety of the people. Two traffic lanes on East Main Street remain blocked in front of the building due to hazards created by falling debris. The only casino comments came during audience comments by resident Gloria Bolden. She favors the casino at Lynch Road and Interstate 74, partly because she questioned what would be demolished downtown for space. She said she wants the casino to benefit all the city, not just a few. The committee also agreed to continue to look at options to limit video gaming in the city, but not harm current businesses with revenue restrictions. Now we'll go to the article, Smoking in Cars While Riding with Children, Illegal in Illinois, by Peter Hancock of the Capital News, Illinois, Springfield. It is now illegal in Illinois to smoke in a vehicle in which a minor child is present. Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker on Friday signed House Bill 2276 into law, making it a petty offense to smoke in a vehicle in which there are one or more children under age 18. That can result in a fine of up to $100 for a first violation, and up to $250 for each subsequent violation. Law enforcement officers are not allowed to issue tickets solely for violating the law, but they can issue tickets if they pull a vehicle over for some other violation. The law also does not apply if the person smoking is a minor who is the sole occupant of the vehicle. If a minor is present in the vehicle, however, citations can be issued to anyone in the vehicle who is smoking, including the driver and any other passenger. Earlier this year, Pritzker signed another bill into law, commonly known as Tobacco 21, which makes it illegal to sell or provide tobacco products to anyone younger than 21. That new law, however, removed an earlier prohibition against minors possessing or using tobacco products. That means minors cannot be charged with an offense solely for smoking. But if they smoke in a vehicle in which other minors are present, they could be cited for violating the new law banning smoking around minors in vehicles. Proponents of the new law say it's intended to reduce children's exposure to secondhand smoke. For purposes of the new law, the word smoke means to inhale, exhale, burn, or carry a lighted cigarette, cigar, pipe, weed, plant, regulated narcotic, or other combustible substance. The word vehicle does not include motorcycles. The bill was sponsored by Representative Jonathan Carroll, Democrat from Northbrook, and Senator Julie Morrison, Democrat from Deerfield. It passed the Senate by a vote of 42-10 on May 29th. It passed the House by a vote of 97-14 on June 1st. We'll now go to the death notices. Betty Jean Beck, 93, passed away on March 15th, 2019. Betty's ashes are returning to Potomac Cemetery for a burial. There will be a graveside service on September 21st at noon. Samuel D. Rayfield, 77, of Rossville, passed away on August 25th. A visitation will be from 4 to 8 p.m. on Wednesday, August 28th, at Anderson Funeral Home in Hoopston, Illinois. A celebration of life will be at 11 a.m. on Thursday, August 29th, at the funeral home. No burial will be held. The family has requested all memorial donations be directed to the Rossville Fire Department, Rossville United Methodist Church, or the Sharon L. Massengale Bassett Breast Cancer Fund. Harriet Gildersleeve, 76, of Danville, passed away on August 24th. A celebration of Harriet's life will be at 10 a.m. on Friday, August 30th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. on Thursday, August 29th, at the funeral home. She will be laid to rest at Sunset Memorial Park. Shirley A. Lebowski, 85, of Danville, passed away on August 27th. Funeral services at noon on Friday, August 30th, at Robison Chapel in Catlin, Illinois. Burial in Danville National Cemetery. Visitation from 11 a.m. to noon on Friday at Robison Chapel in Catlin. Richard Dick J. Filetti, 76, of Tilton, passed away on August 25th. A celebration of life will be at 11 a.m. on Thursday, August 29th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Burial will be in Georgetown Cemetery. Visitation will be from 10 to 11 a.m. on Thursday at the funeral home. Memorials may be made to the Second Church of Christ. Glenn A. Simmons, 61, of Danville, died on August 21st. Funeral arrangements are incomplete at this time. Doris H. Thomas, 89, of Danville, died on August 27th. Funeral service will be at 10 a.m. on Saturday at Faith Church of Christ in Danville. Burial will be in Oakwood Cemetery in Oakwood. Now we'll go to the article, Crash Results in Death, Arrest, a Staff Report. Danville. Drug use and driving combined for a deadly outcome Monday near Cheneyville, according to police. Illinois State Police said Miguel Vera, 36, of San Benito, Texas, was westbound on Illinois Route 1 just east of Cheneyville Road when his Ford Freestar ran off the roadway, struck a culvert, and overturned into a cornfield. A 37-year-old male passenger was pronounced dead on the scene, according to police. Both Vera and a 38-year-old male passenger were transported to an area hospital. Vera has been charged with driving under the influence of drugs, improper lane usage, and no valid driver's license. Whether the occupants were wearing seatbelts remains under investigation. The Vermilion County coroner will release the name of the deceased once the next of kin notification has been completed, police said. Next, we'll go to the article. Final tally, 591 bills signed, 8 vetoed by Illinois governor, by Jerry Nowicki of the Capital News, Illinois. Springfield. Governor J.B. Pritzker on Tuesday signed the final 3 bills of the 599 sent to him by the Illinois General Assembly during the spring legislative session. Per the final tally, Pritzker signed 591 of the bills into law, while vetoing 7 and sending 1 back to the General Assembly with an amendatory veto. The General Assembly will return in late October and early November to discuss new legislation and consider overriding any of the vetoes. Among the final measures signed by the governor this week was the Home Energy Affordability and Transparency Act, which aims to provide greater regulation on alternative energy providers, many of whom go door to door, locking customers into high energy rates. The measure, Senate Bill 651, was an initiative of Democratic Attorney General Kwame Raoul, who said the purpose of the legislation was to take aim at alternative energy suppliers who use sales gimmicks and misleading sales pitches to lure consumers into high-priced energy contracts. Per the new law, alternative energy suppliers will be required to provide consumers with information about rates, fees, and early termination charges, and they will be required to obtain consumers' express consent before the contract is switched from a fixed rate to a variable rate. Suppliers must also notify customers before their rates rise, and must report their rates to the Illinois Commerce Commission and the Attorney General's office. Illinois residents deserve to know what they're getting into when signing up for alternative utility suppliers, and often that means high costs and deceptive practices, Pritzker said in a news release. Among the other bills signed by Pritzker since Friday is Senate Bill 161, which expands health insurance coverage for mammograms and other breast cancer screenings beginning January 1, 2020. When the law takes effect, private insurers and Medicaid will be required to cover mammograms, ultrasounds, and MRIs when they are deemed medically necessary by a physician, advanced practice nurse, or physician assistant. State Senator Linda Holmes, an Aurora Democrat, and the bill's Senate sponsor, said in a release the measure removes copays for diagnostic mammograms. A diagnostic mammogram should be covered in the same manner as a routine screening mammogram, Holmes said. About 10% of initial mammogram results require a subsequent diagnostic mammogram, which can arguably be the most important test in the screening process. This new law can save lives. The bill's House sponsor was Jeff Kecher, a Republican from Sycamore. The governor also signed House Bill 465, which creates a regulatory framework for pharmacy benefit managers, or PBMs, which negotiate drug prices and benefits on behalf of insurance plans. Prior to the bill, PBMs went largely unregulated in Illinois and were not subject to audit or transparency laws, despite the fact that they manage public money through the Medicaid program. The new law brings PBMs under regulation by the Illinois Department of Insurance beginning January 1, 2020. The new law requires insurers to apply third-party payments, discounts, vouchers, and copay cards to a deductible, copay or out-of-pocket maximum associated with health insurance. It allows pharmacists to recommend less expensive drugs and prevents the denial of emergency medical treatment. PBMs line their pockets at the expense of small businesses and consumers who have no choice but to buy life-saving drugs at exorbitant prices. State Senator Andy Menar, a Bunker Hill Democrat and the bill's Senate sponsor, said, "For years, these middlemen have been able to exert their influence on the pharmaceutical industry with essentially no oversight. It's time to crack down on unfair practices that target some of the most vulnerable people in our communities." And for some news in local sports, we'll go to the article, "New Look, Hageman Begins First Season at Salt Fork," by Chad Dare. Catlin. There is definitely a little different look to the Salt Fork Storm this year. Obviously, some of it is simply a result of Joe Hageman taking over the reins of the program from Brian Plotner, who stepped down after 17 seasons with the Storm. "It's definitely been a unique experience," said Hageman, who moves up from an assistant coaching position. "I always knew there were a lot of little things that a head coach had to deal with on a daily basis, but there has been even more things than I anticipated, even after being an assistant coach. It has opened my eyes," Hageman said, and that he will keep his role as the offensive play caller. "That's been the biggest change for me," he said. "Now I have to look at the full program and the full team. I'm not just in charge of the offense. I'm also responsible for the defense and the special teams." The players, which includes 10 key returners, have had no troubles making the switch. "The seniors have been great in the offseason, and they have been great early in the year," Hageman said. "Not just with their physical abilities, but also the leadership that they provide. They have stepped in and brought into the minor changes that we have made, and then they sold it to the younger kids." According to senior quarterback Keeler Bennett, the main focus for this year's team is bonding as a family. We have done a lot of things in the offseason and so far this season as a family. "We want to be a closer team this year," he said. "We always want to be there for our teammates and pick them up when it's needed." Coach Hageman has really emphasized that for this season. "And what is the advantage of being a close group? It allows us to fix our problems easily and helps bring everyone together on the same page," Bennett added. The practice atmosphere also appears to be a little different than the previous year. On Tuesday, the Salt Fork practice featured several different individual groups of instruction, with those groups rotating between stations. "That's not only good for conditioning, but is also good to keep the kids focused and interested," Hageman said. "To be in good football shape, a player really needs to go to rally for 4 or 5 seconds, and then you get a quick rest in the huddle before doing it again. The best way to get ready for that is just by doing it and not just getting on the line and running a bunch of sprints." According to senior Peyton Taylor, a running back and linebacker, "It is a lot more fun. We are running plays nonstop, which is the best kind of conditioning," he said. "And it's a lot more organized than it might look." Taylor admitted that even with these changes, the expectations for the Salt Fork program hasn't changed. "We want to make the playoffs and have a chance to win the Vermilion Valley Conference," he said. "That's what we should expect every year." Hageman isn't completely ready to talk about taking the Storm to their 18th playoff appearance in the past 19 years. "I hope the public sees a team that is led by a group of seniors who are hard workers, and for us to be a team that plays the game the right way and competes for 4 quarters at least 9 times this year," he said. "And what about a Week 10 playoff game? I think you have to do the first part before you can worry about game number 10, he said. "If you take care of things in those first 9 games and play the game the right way, that's when you can start thinking about the 10th game." Bennett acknowledged that last year was a little bit disappointing for Salt Fork. The Storm opened the year with 5 straight wins, but they won just 1 of their final 5 to end the year at 6-4. We started well, but we didn't finish well, he said. Hagman said a key to their success will be how the offensive line develops. We need those guys to gel together, he said. It's a group that hasn't played a lot together. They have individual experience, but not a lot of experience playing together. We also need to create a little defensive line depth as well. Salt Fork will kick off its 2019 season at home on Saturday against South Beloit. Kickoff is set for 2 p.m. We'll now go to the community brief section for some updates about what's going on in the area. In Danville, Lions to meet. Sue Richter, director of the Vermilion County Museum, will speak at noon on Thursday at the Danville Lions Club at Spanky's Banquet Hall at 409 East Main Street. Legion lists menu. American Legion Post 210 will serve food from 5 to 7 p.m. today and Thursday. On Friday, fish, chicken, tenderloins, shrimp, hamburgers, and a full menu will be available from 5 to 7:30 p.m. on Saturday. The Legion will open at 4 p.m. Alzheimer's session set. The Alzheimer's Association of Illinois invites family members and caregivers to meet U.S. Representative John Shimkus at 9:45 a.m. on Thursday in the training room at Liberty Village. The session will end at 11 a.m. In Westville, family together. The 85th annual Will Coxon Reunion will be Sunday in Maple Grove Lodge at Forest Glen Preserve. The potluck dinner begins at 12:30 p.m. Any historical reunion pictures to be shared would be appreciated. Reenactment set. The Vermilion County Conservation District welcomes back the Stevens family, who will reenact life in the 18th century from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Sunday at the Pioneer Homestead in Forest Glen Preserve. Admission is free. For information, call 662-2142. That's about all the time we have for today's reading. This has been Ian Berg with the commercial news, dated Wednesday, August 28th, 2019. As always, thank you for joining me today, and I look forward to the next time we get to read together.